You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're doing the monthly microdose. It's a recap of the month of October. I know we're halfway damn through November, but every month I like to do a recap of all the shows we did the previous month with some new findings, information, corrections, hot takes. All right, there's going to be some hot takes on Kanye and Hocus Pocus too, so stick around. All right, we're going to go over some social media posts. We're going to talk about some movies I watched. And we're going to talk about the best is last. We'll talk about what to expect coming up soon, which is a constantly moving target. All right. Now, let's, without further ado, let's get into social media posts. I sent out a survey. I asked you where you found me, because I'm trying to figure it out, right? I'm not some big fancy outfit operation. I'm just some jackass who started talking about this crap 10 years ago, and I've got a lot of people that listen to me, and I thank you. But I want to know where you linked up with me. And surprisingly, most of the people found me through my guest appearances on other shows. I would say, if I had to tell you which one, probably Tim Foyle, because I've been on that one, Tim Foyle Hat, 11 times. But thanks for the info. Thanks for filling out the survey. And what I'm going to do with that information, I don't know. I'm going to see if I can't prioritize guesting on some shows. My schedule's been kind of crazy. That's all behind the scenes. Who cares? But I'm working on it, all right? Social media posts. What else happened? Alex Jones got hit with a billy. We already talked about that. Is he going to be able to pay the bill? I don't know. Rusty Shacklesford posted up some sick-ass airplane model photos. I don't know. Is that the right word? Model? Damn near look like you fit in the thing. Fly this thing. With the now vintage conspiracy theories and unpopular culture sticker. I also... someone requested I list all the books that I've written, because I realize somebody's just fined me recently and didn't know I wrote 9 books already. So on IlluminatiWatcher.com/resources, you can find the full list of all the books with descriptions and links, and it's great. You're going to love it. Doja Cat said, MK Ultra got their grips on me. OMG. And she also posted some just recently, a couple days ago, some kind of Illuminati joke video. Now, for me, when I see this, normally I just think, okay, they're just riffing on pop culture. But I think this might be for real. She's purposely making herself really ugly. I don't know if you've seen this. In the last few months, she shaved her eyebrows, she shaved her head, all this stuff, right? I think she's trying to dodge some kind of abuse. And I think she's trying to find a way to talk about it. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time. A lot of these people, they get famous, they get in the big industry, and, you know, all this bad stuff happens. Hocus Pocus 2, I made a promo video, and it went viral. Couldn't believe it. Viral on Instagram, viral on the TikTok, about 500,000 on each platform. People liked that. They liked the video. The algorithms liked it. I know that. It's no different than all the other videos I make. The algorithm just decided to let that one go. So, shout out algorithm. I made a post about Joe Rogan talking about how schools have litter boxes, and I posted on Instagram because, you know, I know some of you believe that. I said, what do you think? Is this real? Is it not? And I was right, because later he admitted he was wrong. So just wanted to make sure you guys knew I was right. Yeah, no, think about it, though. Seriously. Kids in school, in high school, love attention. Kids in high school love TikTok and whatever social media, right? You're telling me there's all these schools everywhere with litter boxes in the bathrooms or even in the regular room. And there's not one video or picture of anybody using it. I don't believe that. These kids document their whole life. They love big surveillance state. They love it so hard. They want their whole lives in front of a camera. So that's why I was like, there's no way. This is some right-wing bullshit, and I was right, so. moving along. MarineCorps.meme posted a cool video from Dodgeball on my Instagram. You should check that out. It was in honor of the creation of a freed loser trial period. 2 weeks. 2 weeks you get for free. Lots of you signed up. Thank you for checking it out. Hopefully you like it. If you like it, sign up for tier one. It's only $5 and you'll get my books and all that stuff. If you don't, that's fine too. Thanks for checking it out. I posted a photo of my new studio wall with Pickled Landon's dope ass rug he made with my big dumb face. Check it out. And check out his Instagram page. He's got all kinds of cool rugs. I also posted links to my new YouTube channel. I know the day has come. I started a new one because the old one seemingly was shadow banned. So I'm like, screw it. And what I did was I hijacked the Breaking Social Norms YouTube page, all right? Because me and Josie stopped making video versions because it proved too difficult. So I'm making a new one. I'm not going to post every episode. Why would I? Because YouTube just hits me with copyrights and all this crap. So I'm going to put, I'll say probably half of them on there for people to check out. Because I also got to, I gotta give some stuff to my Rockfin people and my Tier 2 people. So you might get half the videos and they're going to be late. But hey, we're trying over here. Now, I've been consuming a lot of movies. As you know, music makes me sad lately, right? Not really into too much music lately, but... And then I was sick. I've been sick for about 6 weeks in a row. Unbelievable. Really depressed. No crossfitting. I'm so tired of sitting in my house. I had a real weird sinus head cold for a week in October. Just when that cleared out, I got the COVID. Bill Gates is trying to bring me down. But he won't. He won't. I will overcome. Now, if you go to Letterboxd, which is the app where I give you my hot take reviews of movies, I actually made a list. Because you can make different lists, right? Like, I have listed my ranking of all the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, my ranking of all the Halloween movies. And then I made a list for every movie I've done that I've covered. Excuse me. That's my crypto alerts been going off. When they go up or down, it's ringing off the hook. Not a good month for my crypto folks out there. But you know what? We're going to stay strong. because you can't not. You can't sell because then you're going to realize those losses. So we're just holding on. Give it another year. We'll be all right, everyone. But now on this, what was I saying? Letterboxd. So I made a list of all the movies that I've done shows about. Someone messaged me the other day. Hey, did you do an episode about Suspiria from 2018? Yes, I did. It's on that list. I believe that was a Patreon only. I believe it was in 2018. And back then, my skills for compiling movie clips and such weren't up to par. You might not love that episode. I mean, it's good. Good, not great. I'm learning, right? It's like if you go back to the 2014 shows, they're terrible. Don't even listen to them. Sorry, I got to drink. I know it's very unprofessional. I have to drink my... like I said, I got the thing from 2020 that will never go away. Trying to take me down. I won't let it. All right, what did I watch? Hocus Pocus 2. We're going to talk about that more in depth. About that Texas mom. How she went viral. We're going to talk about that. I watched Exorcist 2. They claim it's one of the worst films of all time. I disagree. Vehemently, I disagree. No, it wasn't great. It was fine. One of the worst, though? I don't think so. Exorcist 3. A great film. Easily the second best Exorcist in the series. I watched Stayin' Alive. I don't know if you've ever seen Stayin' Alive. It's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever. I grew up loving Saturday Night Fever. I love the soundtrack. I still do. And Stayin' Alive was available on the cable TV Me and all the old people were watching the cable TV. I said, today's the day. I'm sick. I'm stuck on the couch. We're watching Staying Alive. And I'll be honest, I didn't hate it. Again, one of these films they say is one of the worst of all time. It wasn't good. It was bad. It was really bad. Listen up. We've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto. But did you know it's easy for you to also do the same? Yes. The Compy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy him. It's like having a big brother who knows what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest. You simply do what he does. So let me tell you more about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which despite heavy censorship has over 14,000 subscribers and 900,000 views. Since March 2020, he told his audience to buy 26 different crypto coins. Had you put $100 into each one, it would now be worth over $53,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, is currently up over 440 times from when he said that one call alone has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. Remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to YouTube and verify all this for yourself. So if you'd like to join the 1,300 members who copy James, myself included, by the way, I'm one of those members. Yeah, indeed. I copy James's advice as well. Because, look, here's the thing. I don't have time to research all these crazy coins. You probably don't either. Or maybe you don't know a thing about crypto or how to even research these things. It doesn't matter. You just follow James. It's just that easy. So you can stop what you're doing. Head over to copymycrypto.com/Isaac. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but my listeners get full access for just $1. You won't find this offer anywhere else. Act fast because the offer ends soon. That's copymycrypto.com/Isaac. I-S-A-A-C. A lot of people mess that up. It's not two S's. It's two A's. Two A's for, I don't know, double awesome. So copymycrypto.com/ISAAC. Don't take this offer lightly. It's the real deal. Go visit the website now. Link in the show notes as always. And what a bummer for John Travolta. Homeboy was shredded, covered in the baby oil the whole film. He looks amazing. And of course, it has to be in the movie that people pan as one of the worst of all time. Ain't that a bummer? I watched What's Love Got to Do with It about Tina Turner. Fun fact, it has the sax guy from The Lost Boys in it. My lovely wife Josie tells me that the sax guy was actually in the, I think the Tina Turner band, I think is what she said. I don't remember. I thought that was interesting. I watched the new Hellraiser on Hulu. They blew it. They got rid of the whole sex element, which is what the whole story's about. If you read Clive Barker's Hellbound Heart, that's what it's about. It's what the first two movies are about. The first one. But still better than 90% of the other sequels. Hellraiser 1 is the perfect one. 2 is very close behind it. And the rest were just atrocious. I watched Blonde about Marilyn Monroe on the Netflix. I absolutely loved this movie. It was a little long, granted. And, you know, it was some kind of fantasy fictional retelling of sorts. So as long as you know that going in, I don't know, people get all upset. Well, that's not what she did. Oh, really? Did you want to make a boring Ken Burns Marilyn Monroe show? Or did you want to see this chick get it on with these two dudes in the movie theater? Give me the two dudes in the movie theater, all right? So that was cool. Then I watched Eat the Rich, the GameStop Saga documentary. I think that was on Netflix as well. And my quote, I said, or in my Letterboxd review, I said, before the nerds kill us, they're going to take all of our money. How prophetic, because just 1 month later, all this FTX exchange crypto drama, smashing the bottom out of these cryptos, taking everyone's money that left their money in the exchange. Never leave your cryptos in an exchange. If you're new to cryptos, you got to pay a little bit of attention. And I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating. When you get into this, you're like, how could this ever take off? There's so many rules and little dumb things. And I agree with you. I agree. But you got to know how to play the rules, how to play the game. Never leave your cryptos in the exchange. You don't give the keys to your car to the exchange. Their keys, their cheese, right? That's what they say. So people left their money in the FTX exchange and they lost it, apparently. I watched the whole Dahmer series on Netflix. Fantastic. Made me feel awful and creepy, but A plus. And shout out to Netflix. You know, I've always championed Netflix, and I know a lot of the hardcore truthers out there get really upset about this. It's like, oh, Edward Bernays' grandson. And I've talked about this. I actually read the whole book that, what's the dude's name? The guy that founded Netflix, Rudolph or whatever his name is. I read his whole book, all right? And that is a fact. There's a his uncle is Edward Bernays or whatever. Okay. And maybe they're pushing some social agendas. Maybe. At least they're airing controversial content, right? They're airing Dave Chappelle. They're airing the Dahmer show, and all the people, all the cancel culture folks are all upset. Oh, no, don't watch the shows. Don't, you can't laugh. You can't watch this. It makes some people sad. And I'm very much against all that. We're all adults. We have to manage our feelings. Look, I get it, man. If your loved one was horrifically murdered by Dahmer in this horrific way, I get how you would say, I don't want this show out there because it seems like it makes him look interesting or makes you have sympathy for him. I get it. But guess what? The other 350 billion people, million people, don't have to cater to your feelings. In the same way, I wouldn't want people to cater to my feelings. I hate Dancing with the Stars. Should they, is that even on anymore? Should they just stop airing that? Because I get upset every time I watch it. No, just handle your business. Be an adult. So yeah, shout out Netflix. Like, they're standing their ground. They're like, no, this is our content and suck it. I like that. I watched Werewolf by Night on Disney. Hated it. My man Big O was like, dude, you got to watch this. No, I don't, Big O. It was trash. I hated it. It was just a Marvel film in disguise. I want my 1 hour back. I watched Gaspar Noé's Lux Eterna, my least favorite Gaspar Noé film. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. If you know who he is, you know what I'm talking about. Does some devastatingly brutal movies. I watched The Watcher on Netflix. And a lot of people asked about this. I don't know that I have time to do a show on it. I don't know if there's enough for me to do a show on. Because it seemed like it was stated very obviously, the things with like the Q stuff and the adrenochrome and all that. So, but it was good. I liked it. The dad was the real hero here. I loved how he was insulting people with good zingers. His whole family sucked. Nobody would listen to him. His wife wouldn't listen to him. His daughter wouldn't listen to him. They're listening to everyone else, but not dear old dad. I enjoyed it. Some people hated it. They hated the editing. I thought it was great. I don't know. I was comatose on the couch for weeks, so maybe I was just easy to please. I was in a good mood. I watched She Will on Shudder. Loved it. Folk horror, woodsy, witchy vibes. I watched Romeo and Juliet from the 90s, which might be one of my favorite films of all time. Of course, it's got my favorite actor of all time, Leo DiCaprio. And as I said in my review, it's absolutely insane. There's a scene where Claire Danes, who's the love, she's Juliet. She's at a dance with Paul Rudd, who's trying to court her. And he's being charming and witty and funny, making her laugh. But Leo, who's Romeo, he's in the crowd and he sees her and he's smitten. And he's staring at her. He's like, I gotta have this girl. And he's walking towards her like destiny. Like two worlds colliding, man. And they exchange this look and it's like, ah, how did they do it? How did they get it on camera? It seems real. It's about the realest thing I've ever seen. I'm probably overselling this. It's a little fucked up when I watched it. But hey, it was really good. It was a good movie. It was one of my favorite films of all time, and I'm not exaggerating. I've never seen it before. Josie had seen it in the 90s. She saw it in the theater. She was also a teenager, though, right? She remember it being good, but we both agreed. Standing ovation. Standing ovation. Barbarian. Sorry, I got to crunch the ice. My throat's killing me. Barbarian. In fact, I talked to, was it Shane on Patreon? Who was like, bro, the first time I listened to you, you were chewing on a cough drop and I almost didn't give you a second chance. Which made me think about it. I'm like, okay. You know, those were back in, that was probably back in the days when your boy was ultra busy, right? I used to, here's the truth. I used to film, or I mean, I used to record podcasts in my car, in my truck. That's right. In my truck, I would have to have time while I was at work on my lunch break or something. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. It's quite the sordid history here. It wasn't this nice $300 microphone with a nice little boom. No. It was a SingStar mic crumpled up under the back seat with my janky-ass Microsoft laptop. Anyway. Barbarian. I watched that on, was it Shudder, I think? And I'm not going to tell you what happens because it's a great movie. I made a letterbox joke about how ED-209 from RoboCop would have never let this happen. I don't know if a lot of people understood that joke. I thought it was very witty because, you see, RoboCop is set in Detroit, as is Barbarian. Okay? I thought it was funny. No one else did. I watched Halloween Ends. Oh, boy. They had something really good, and they blew it. It was, on the one hand, I want to be nice, because there's this small narcissistic part of me that actually thinks, watching this, that whoever created this movie follows my work. This small narcissistic part of me that wants to believe that. So I want to be nice and be like, oh, it's great, guys. I love it. In case they're listening. I actually loved the 2018 Halloween. I loved Halloween Kills. I thought that was great. I didn't love Halloween Ends. I'm not going to give anything away. But I feel like they had something at first where they took the plot with this Corey guy. I was like, come on, really? We're here to see Michael. We're not here to see Corey. But then by the time they warmed me up to Corey, they like kind of moved it around, and I was like, oh, boy, why did we do this? But the reason I think that maybe they listened to the show is because twice in the movie they mention about being on the dark path, which, as you know, is the name of my very most popular book. They quote Nietzsche twice. Both are in my books. There's one about music, and that's in The Dark Path. I actually use that quote. And then, of course, there's a scene, I won't say where, but like there's a scene where Michael Myers is in a Baphomet pose, as above, so below. What do you think? And it makes me wonder, because that's kind of how I thought The Watcher was, in a way. I think there's this weird widespread interest in these topics. And I think a lot more people are tuning into this stuff. I don't know if they all believe it. I think they're probably mostly in my camp. I think I'd like to think most listeners are in my camp, where they're looking at this stuff with a morbid fascination and not sure how much we want to believe. Like, there's this possibility, but I'm not all in. Like, oh, it's happening. Let's go make something happen, you know? Because in The Watcher, they talk about satanic blood cults and the adrenochrome. There's a Q reference, and there's also, oh, that's right, there's a reference to the fourth turning, which is a very niche-y thing. You're definitely into conspiracy podcasts if you're talking about the fourth turning. I talked about it. I did a whole book club on The Great Reset. I think it was part 4, appropriate, of the fourth turning from the book Generations. I'm not the only one to talk about it, but there's not that many people talking about it. So I think, and shout out to Aria out there. Shout out, she was the one that told me to watch The Watcher. I actually enjoyed it a lot. That got me through a lot of my, that and the Dahmer show got me through a lot of sick time down on the couch. So yeah, lots of shows being consumed. Now, let's talk about my podcast here. Let's do a couple episode recaps and questions, right? In the month of October, the free feed got the part four of the Stranger Things season four. I can't believe it. It feels like that was years ago at this point. We also, where I gave a prediction for season five. I already forgot what it is. Doesn't matter. I'll revisit it when season five comes out. We did a show on Halloween film analysis from 1978. We did a Halloween occult symbolism of Samhain. I gave a special announcement about the new show title of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Shocked by how much love I received for this. Thank you very much for all the kind, positive words. I wasn't sure how it would be received. It's received very well. So thank you. I will be getting the new shirts. And like I said before, whatever I got on my shelf that's left for shirts for the conspiracy theory show, like that's it. Once those are gone, that's it. I ain't printing any more. Collector's items. Collector's items. Sitting there waiting. In fact, I just sold the last coffee mug. We also did a show, TMZ, the TMZ Roundup show. We did Katy Perry's Eye Problems, Doja Cat, Vanessa Hudgens, Prince Harry. And we also talked about Charlie Daniels. Now, let's talk about this because everyone informed me Charlie Daniels has been dead for a couple of years. I didn't know that. All right. I barely know who Charlie Daniels is. I just thought it was going to be a funny topic to throw in the mix because it splashed my radar. After I got the first message from someone saying, bro, this dude's been dead for like 3 years. I looked it up. I looked at my link. I said, oh, snap. That was an article that was like 3 years old. So, okay, fine. It wasn't intended to be a rigorous analysis of Charlie Daniels. I just thought it was a fun idea, a fun topic. A lot of Charlie Daniels fans out there, I guess. I don't know. I did a special interview with Paolo Harris, 1945 Trinity UFO crash. Shout out, Paolo Harris sent me, I begged and pleaded. I said, I need the Conversations with Colonel Corso book. And she came through for me. So thank you, Paolo, from the bottom of my heart. Lots of divided opinions on that episode. Some people don't believe her. They think she's part of some agenda. The alien stuff is very divisive. Lots of different opinions there, right? And I get all the opinions. I don't know which angle to take myself. Now, and Hocus Pocus 2, here we go. This is the big one. Now, this one got crazy. Like I said, the social media posts I made on this, the little videos I made, full-blown viral. 1 million views total between Instagram and TikTok. And then since my show, there was a Texas mom who pointed out that the title has a spiral-shaped O, which is just like the spiral from all that adrenochrome talk from the pizza emails and stuff, if you remember, from the FBI memo. So I didn't even catch that. That was a good catch. But what's funny is, I'm going to read to you, what's this from? InsideTheMagic.net. A viral Facebook post suggests Christians avoid Hocus Pocus and its upcoming sequel, claiming Hollywood is trying to indoctrinate children into witchcraft. Which is not far off from what I said on my show. And of course, they're not talking about me. They're talking about, some lady. Some other Texas mom. Kelly Koval Duncan wrote, at the risk of being that mom, I need to... she's going to be that bitch. At the risk of being that mom, I need to share something with my Jesus-loving brothers and sisters. I grew up with very few filters on my TV screen. I watched all the movies that were geared towards kids, and our family didn't know any better. As an adult, especially now that I know Jesus, I realize there are so many reasons to say no to certain movies. I started ministering to others several years back for inner healing. It's often a painful process for people to get to the root of issues in their life that have created patterns that are disturbing to them and those around them. We literally all have these issues in some form or another, and Jesus is the answer to all of them with our cooperation and repentance, forgiveness, and breaking the vows, judgments that got us there in the first place. But back to the point, there are movies that can open children up to the glamour of a cult. It can make it look amazing to be a witch. It shows harmless seances and fun nights over a Ouija board. But I am here to say the occult is real. Witchcraft is real. The world wants it to seem like it's only in the movies, but I guarantee you the world is coming hard and fast for your kids. Oh dear. One movie we have said no to that I literally watched every year as a child is Hocus Pocus. In a world where predators are killing children, Hollywood elite drinking blood of children in real life is a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. It is hard for me to see the innocent fun of watching a movie where witches kill children so they can stay young. There are children every year being taken for places where no one will miss them to be sacrificed by witches to Satan. This is not make-believe. Now, that's the part I actually don't know that we can prove. I believe it could be happening. And like we talked about on my episode there, witchcraft and Satanism, not necessarily hand in hand, but in the Hocus Pocus show, that is what they allude to. They talk about Satan all the time. As a Christian parent, you do not want to watch your child take the route of the occult. I've ministered to adults plagued by tormenting spirits because they opened the door. It's not cute to dress as a witch or Satan. I actually agree with her. I do think you open a door. Take time and truly ask the Holy Spirit what's best for your family. This is not an area where you as a believer feel his conviction, then follow his lead. But don't just do it because you always have. I love you all and want blessings in life for your family and children. There is much darkness in the world. Let there be light. And then the article goes on to say, there's no connection between Hocus Pocus and the Adrenochrome conspiracy. The theory has been disproven multiple times, though many believers are further emboldened by public controversy. Disagree. It has not been disproven multiple times. The theory of Adrenochrome seems to fit squarely into the plot of Hocus Pocus. It really does. And like I talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm very anti-cancel culture. I'm actually okay with it. You want to watch witch stuff? Go for it. Like, I don't have kids, but, you know, I imagine that's a tough line to have them watch this stuff where they do occult practices that look fun. Ghost hunting. Oh, that looks like fun. And then tell them, well, you shouldn't do that. Like, I get that. But, yeah, anyway, that was the viral post there. And it's not far off from what our show talked about. I don't fully disagree with her. Finally, Kanye West. My gosh. We did the Kanye West Drink Champs interview show. Why Ye is wrong about who runs the world. That's what I called it. And I knew this was going to hit super hard, like a big old turd in the punch bowl. Mixed reactions all over the place. Just like, I got downright hateful comments. I still am getting them, which I'm not surprised by. In fact, there was I don't want to get into it. I steered away from the Truth or Drama show for a reason. There was a guy I was supposed to have on my show. I didn't know he was super into this particular angle that Kanye espouses. And once I realized that, I said, hey, man, can you steer clear of this topic? And then he posted our private email conversation all over his socials like, see, there's a big global conspiracy and they want to cover it up. And it's like, or like, this is so sensitive and so dodgy. And like, it's not what I'm trying to make my show about. You want to make your show about it? Knock yourself out. You're not exposing me. It's like me saying, hey, can you not talk about football? I'm not really into football on my show. Oh, it's a football cover-up. Oh, boy. I mean, these guys just have no... These guys are into this particular theory. It's like the Flat Earthers, man. They're a rabid bunch. And like I said to when I did the two Flat Earth shows and said, I think you're full of shit, it's fine. I'd like to be part of that community. You're welcome at the table. I disagree with you, though. Like, they just can't handle it, man. They are fascists. They want you to believe what they believe so hard. There's no room for dissenting opinion. If you don't agree with them, you're part of the problem now. And I wrote, like I said, I wrote about this topic in my first book ever in 2012, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, which you can get for free through, oh, that's another one I'm getting a lot. I'm grifting for my books. Yeah, I wrote books and I like to try to sell the books. That's what people do when they write books. But you can get this one for free. I'm grifting it for free. Not a good grift. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the Start Here tab, sign up for the free email newsletter, you can get my first book for free. And you can read my whole spiel on the anti-Semitic angle of conspiracy. I talked about it 10 years ago. I mentioned my dislike of the theorists that go full tilt anti-Semitism. I even criticized my own hero, Bill Cooper. That's the first time that this idea crossed my radar in 2002 when I read Behold a Pale Horse, because he's got the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in the first pressing, which I have. But let me throw you a bone again, all right? Because I just know a lot of people got very upset. They're like, Isaac, I thought I knew you, man. I thought you were on my side. And that makes me feel bad. I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to like make you feel like I'm not on your side. It's like the flat earth thing. Like, this is just not the thing. I feel like this is just a big, windy, spiraling, expanding rabbit hole that you can't really prove. And like, what fruit does it bear? Not good fruit. But let me throw you a bone again. I said this in the Kanye show. I don't think everyone caught it, because I know people are listening to podcasts while they're, you know, avoiding their day job in the cubicle hell. I do it too. But if you want to look at this idea of a global Illuminati cabal, and you're like that Bird Box meme with the guy holding the lady's eyes open, like, see it. And you want me to believe in the Illuminati global cabal? And you're like, I want you to see there's a lot of these types of people at the top of all these organizations in Hollywood and financials. I'll tell you, yes, I believe that there are some representatives from that community in the Illuminati cabal. Surely some of them are part of the Illuminati globalist agenda. But that doesn't mean all of them are evil and all of them are part of this. The global Illuminati is not all Jewish people. It's just not. I suspect there's multiple religions and races, but the ultimate real religion is Luciferianism. That's, if you want to believe in this whole theory, that's what I would get behind. So, is that a Jewish person? No, that's a Luciferian. And I know they're like, oh, but then we're not talking about Jewish people. We're talking about Zionists. Okay. And anyone can be a Zionist. Okay. Whatever, dude. Sounds good. I mean, if you recall the Assassins, one of the earliest secret societies, even Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati itself talked about infiltrating whatever local religions there are, whatever groups there are, and getting into a position of power. Then you push the Luciferian stuff. And to be fair to Kanye, I respect his ability of the free speech. I think if people want to talk about how the earth is flat, they should be allowed to say that. I'm not pro-cancel culture. I never once said, well, we should cancel Kanye. He shouldn't say this. I'm actually okay. Like, go for it, bro. Knock yourself out. me saying I just disagree with him is kind of where it should end. I don't want to see him lose all of his contracts and crap. I just voiced my opinion that I disagree with him. I don't think he's right. Or he put up a very poor argument if he's trying to prove this point. He made a very poor argument. And another bone I'll throw you, I said, look, Ye's off his rocker. And that actually is supporting the narrative that they want me to support. So in a way, that's not cool of me, right? Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm not trying to take the side of the narrative. But I'm also not taking Ye's side because I think he's a narcissist and I do think he's off his meds. I really do. Or he had a head injury from that car accident. He said a lot of inflammatory stuff, which he should be allowed to do, but he didn't articulate or defend the points or even have an argument. So is he helping anything? No. He's just promoting divisiveness. And there are actually some really intelligent arguments about this group of people. In fact, I was going to have a guy. Where's the link here? Because I wanted to throw you guys a bone, right? Wanted to throw you guys a bone because some of you got real upset and you're like, oh no, why would you do this? We wanted you to hate those people too. And I'm like, no, I don't want to hate those people. I don't know where it is. Is it this one? Hang on, everybody. This is the monthly macro dose. David Livingstone. Jeez, there you go. Look up David Livingstone. He puts together a very intelligent argument about all this. Not specifically on that topic, but just a general broad idea of how it all fits together. David Icke puts a decent argument together, which is stuff that's really well researched and well thought out. And like, I'm not smart enough to know if these guys are exaggerating, if they're cherry picking. I don't know. That's why I don't go to the topic. This is like geopolitics, man. There's a lot you got to really understand. You can't just cherry pick one argument and say, oh, see, they're doing this. They're doing the thing. All right. Now, another idea, Kanye, maybe he's MK Ultra Manchurian Candidate. Maybe he's being, in a way, coerced to do this stuff, to shut down free speech. I think that's very possible. If you listen to Billy Ray Valentine and Mr. Gates's, or Billy Ray Valentine's Infinite Fringe podcast, he had Mr. Gates on, and they talked about this exact situation, and I agree with them. Alex Jones and Kanye are two instruments we're watching go down in real time. All right. But free speech died a long time ago. People want me to cry for Alex Jones and Kanye, but guess what? I took shots long before these two yahoos did. I got shut down a lot longer before them, and I have way less money than those two guys. But the people want me to defend them and be like, oh, poor Alex Jones, poor Kanye. They only have $10 million in the bank now. Like I said, I support their free speech. Go for it, bro. Say what you want to say. But like, if you think I'm going to lose sleep over it, like, dude, I got all kinds of doors shut in my face. My YouTube channel takes off, boom, they shut the door on me. Long before these guys did. So I don't have the energy for it. Like, it sucks. Yeah. Welcome to the club. Sorry that you were raking in millions of dollars a week, Alex Jones, and now you don't get to. I don't know what to tell you. I'm always picking on Alex. I love Alex Jones. I don't mean to pick on him like that. I think he's a funny guy. But anyway. And you know my whole sad story. While you're going to get my free grifty book from my website, check out the Start Here tab. I have the long history of my censorship. Hence the reason I have to change the name of the podcast, because I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so tired of building up something and then just getting it shut down. Because Alex Jones, he was late to the party. I got banned off of crap 2 years before Alex Jones was even thought about getting banned. They nailed me before they nailed Alex Jones. So miss me with that bullshit. Those two are just spoiled brats that didn't get the message yet. If you ask me, if you go to, talking real bold today, If you listen to the Infinite Fringe, Mr. Gates broke it down very well. He's seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. They've made the term conspiracy theory a very dirty word. All right? And probably, honestly, all because of the thing from 2020 that will never go away. Before then, it was dicey. But that's the real linchpin that was like, okay, they're going to ban this stuff now. Because the conspiracy people were the loudest, the most vocal, and sometimes they had it right, sometimes they didn't on the thing from 2020. They weren't right about everything, but they were right about some things that they got censored on, right? In fact, I did heavy research on the Stabbies. I uploaded a book exploring it with all the things that I found that I was like, wow, maybe, you know, because the Stabbies are very similar to Flat Earth and the Zionist topic. Like, the people are very passionate about it. I've never really been into it. I was like, okay, now I'm in a position where I kind of have to figure out what I'm doing here. So I did all this research, annotated along the way, I had this like 100-page book. I did several shows on it. I was going to sell it on Amazon, grifting. I like to grift. I put a 100-page ebook on Amazon. I was going to sell for like $2.99. Big whoop. They take $2.50 of it. And they actually wouldn't let me. They blocked it. That was in April 2020. Jeff Bezos himself blocked me. I was censored. Again, your boy was censored long and added to the huge list, right? And in hindsight, I'm happy they blocked that one. Because the reason I don't talk about that subject is because I don't want to be involved in your personal health decision. The outcome of all my research was, man, I don't know that these guys know exactly what they're talking about, but they really want you to believe they know what they're talking about. And it was a hot take, and I was like, you know, I think it's a roll of the dice for some people, right? Some people want to roll the dice and get the disease because they're like, I'm healthy, I'm good, I shouldn't have a problem. Hey, man, go for it. Some people, they're like, I want to roll the dice on the stabby because I feel like that's safer than for if I get the disease. Knock yourself out. Totally fine with that. I get that logic. Some people weren't given a choice. Their employers made them do it. And anyway, the point being, really quickly, I found out that was not just like the Zionist thing. I found out that this is not my battle. I don't want to be involved with this anymore. So I was actually happy they didn't let me publish that. Now, Gates says that on that episode, Charles Manson is so crazy that he sounds intelligent. Kind of like Kanye. Because that's exactly how Kanye sounds. You can't really follow. You're like, well, what's the point here? What's the proof? And he doesn't really have it. It is interesting how the system allows Kanye's interviews to stay up. Why is that? Mr. Gates makes a great point. Why, if Kanye is so bad and they're canceling him and he's saying these atrocious things, why are they letting his interviews stay up? If it's so dangerous, why not force them down? Noriega voluntarily took his down. But it is interesting, right? Saying, look, if you're super into that like Zionist theory, I love that for you. I haven't focused enough research into it to be your guy for that aspect of the understanding of what's going on. It's a massive topic. It aligns a lot with politics. I guarantee you that it'll come down to you believing your own opinion, which is why to me it's a waste of time. For example, if you want to subscribe to that whole idea and you want to believe Kanye is going to expose the whole thing, then why is he buddies with Trump so hard? Trump's favorite son-in-law is the very Jewish Jared Kushner. Ivanka even converted to Judaism to marry him. And they influenced him to make the U.S. Embassy for Israel to Jerusalem to back out of the Iran nuclear deal, which are things Israel really wanted. What implications does this have geopolitically? I have no idea. I don't care. I really don't. I can only worry about so much. Like I said, it's a massive topic. Is there something there? Maybe. I'll give you that. Maybe. Maybe Kanye should be a little more specific if he wants to try to prove some things. I just don't think he knows what he's talking about. And I think he's an overly sensitive artist. I think he's a talented artist. And I think he's fighting back because he's been hurt. Obama called him a jackass, so now he's mad at the Dems. Pete Davidson gave his wife the big dick energy, so now he's mad at Jews because Pete Davidson's dad was a Jew. I mean, it just goes on and on. We don't have to agree. But I'll do this. I will be open-minded to this theory in the future to see if it bears any fruit. I mean, I reject theories based on race as if every person in a particular race is involved with something. Because I think the real problem is divisiveness and racism and bigotry and hatred. I think that's what they use to manipulate us. And what I do agree with Kanye's idea, if you want to get down to it, is that black communities should employ the same strategy being used by this other group, where they share ideas and support each other. I think he even called out specifically the whole Black Wall Street. And, of course, everyone's saying, like, what's interesting is that he said in his song, he said, wait till I get my money right, then you can't tell me nothing right. Well, they took almost all of it, so I don't know. But he, like I said, I just think he's a narcissist. And now we found out he's trying to start a universe. And like I said on my Twitter, he should have called it Westworld, dummy. Why didn't he call it Westworld? Would have been smart. And also, I was also proven correct. They confirmed that he's like obsessed with Hitler. Like he wanted to name his album Hitler. Like, what's wrong with this dude, man? So anyway, I know, contentious topic. I'm sorry for some of you guys that really felt betrayed that I wasn't going to be the guy who makes that my mission, but I'm just not, for all the reasons I already said. Finally, we did a bonus show, too. Let's lighten it up, lighten the mood. Hocus Pocus, there was a spell book, and I bought it, and we went over it. That's on the Patreon. And the VIP and the Rockfin. Now, Patrick on Patreon said the book, because my whole shtick was, look, this is a hardcover book. It's a beautifully done book. Nice pages, color, everything. And it was only like $10. I thought, man, when I print my little crappy books that I like to grift and sell, like, that cost me $8, $9, $15. The Kubrick one's expensive. That cost me like damn $18. How is Disney making them for $10 for a hardcover? Patrick says that it was printed on Disney's printing press, and if you print high volume, like more than 500,000 copies, the price can drop that low. And Patrick said that my book sucks so bad that I'm getting the low volume rate. I'm joking. But the truth is there's a price difference there. So, good point, Patrick, on the Patreon. Finally, future shows. There's so much going on. There's not enough time in the day. We're already a week into November. We already did a show about the death of Takeoff. We already did a show about the death of Aaron Carter. I'm working on a badass analysis for the film Don't Worry, Darling, which I loved. I thought it was great. Mixed feelings from everyone else, though. Some people hated it. You can watch it on HBO Max. I'm going to do a show about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and Elon Musk. Drama, right? We're going to talk drama. It's a hint, hint. It's about an Eyes Wide Shut party, right? I know. We're going to do a show about Ezra Miller. We're going to do a show about Dahmer. I mean, there's a lot cooking up here soon, so stay subscribed to the show. And then a big shout out to my top supporters, Cheryl, Josh, John P, PB, all my tier 4 folks. Thank you. Lots of tier 3 folks showing up to the party too. Shout out to all the tier 3 folks. Some of you have been hanging in there for a while. I appreciate it. Why not? Let's go to Kara, Griff, Live Like Kings, Brian, Jeff, Cheryl. She's holding down the number one supporter spot here. Jamsey, Jay Smith, Jennifer, Jill, and Eddie. Shout out to everybody on the tier 3 or 4. Everyone on everywhere, right? If you want to get a free trial of the VIP section, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab. You don't even have to put your credit card in. I'm trying to make this as painless for you as humanly possible. Try it for 2 weeks. If you like it, sign up. You can sign up for an annual plan and get it for real cheap. The heaviest discount I can give you. Same goes for Patreon. I now enabled the annual discount at the maximum amount they'd let me do. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound like grifting, Isaac. That sounds like gifting, Isaac. All right. All right. Thanks for sticking around, especially if you're still hanging on board and you disagree with me about Kanye West. That shows you're a mature, intelligent human being, and those are the kinds of people I want to associate with. So thank you. Stay subscribed to the show. Until next time, stay woke.